I greet you in the name of Jesus the Shepherd this morning. And I'm going to end up in Psalm 23, but first I'll do some introductions to the subject of shepherding by thinking about sheep. Now, you might know that I have had sheep for some time, since 1984, the last 33 years of my life, which is the last half of my life, I have enjoyed having sheep. And I've made mistakes in raising sheep and learned some lessons, and I'm embarrassed to say a few things that I've done. One of the things that I find is that sheep have got good memories. Sheep may not be the most clever animals in that you don't see sheep being trained to do tricks and travel with the circuses, but they do have great memories. And sometimes the things you learn in animal husbandry really affect how you handle them. And sometimes our own our own ignorance affects how things go. I remember in the early days that my sons were young, and I figured with the size, with four boys, we could go out and we could have a little rodeo, and it would be fun for all of us. And it wasn't always equally fun, because to have a ram's shoulder hit your shoulder just doesn't always compute into pleasure. And so as the boys grew up and left home, I discovered that there are better ways to do things. And so I designed pens that are rectangular, not square, for handling them, and I find that it works very well. I did a little bit of online looking and discovered that indeed what I had discovered is what's recommended in handling of them. The Bible says that a sheep before her shearers is dumb, but that means a sheep is silent. It's a wonderful characteristic of sheep, and I don't find anywhere in the scriptures that dumb was used as the equivalent of stupid for people or animals. In the King James, there's quite a few, maybe 40 uses of that term, and it means someone that can't speak, or chooses not to speak, or God is going to cause people to be speechless, and so on and so forth. And so I take some issue with some of the statements that I have made or others have made in some of that kind of discourse. Sheep are built different than you and I in the eyes, for example. Sheep have their eyes on the sides of the head. We have our eyes in the front of their heads. And we don't have as wide a range of peripheral vision as sheep do. Sheep can, with their head erect, can see quite a ways back, like about 300 degrees, depending on the amount of wool that they have. And if sheep are down grazing, they've gotten basically a 360 degrees because of being able to see under their bellies and so on. So it's a phenomenal gift that they have. They may not have all of the advantages, since they have binocular vision and a fairly narrow field in front of them. They don't have all of the advantages, but they have certain of these advantages. And so on. Maybe I'll have to recognize that this could develop into a longer discourse than I have time for, so I want to keep on going. Sheep are social animals. They're gregarious, and there is a usage of that term that isn't, this isn't something that's just for humans. This is an animal husbandry kind of term as well. And so they're very sociable. And sheep by nature are followers. They're trained that way by their mothers from the very beginning to listen up, follow me. And you'll notice that they're followers. These are some characteristics that usually are good. Sheep are docile animals, and they have, as I said before, good memories. Sheep can be spooked. Maybe a little more on that later. Sheep like light. Sheep do best in level ground or ascending, as far as feeling comfortable rather than descending. I want to make a few comments about sheep behaviors, four different sheep behaviors, and apply them to people and Christians especially. The first one is the sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock, which is related to the social dimension I just mentioned. Most animals, if left free to roam, will scatter, but sheep will flock. Sheep will tend to stay together more. And this is helpful because they don't have as many other natural defenses against predators like, say, the porcupine. And so they like to be in company, and they are in company for their own good and safety. It means togetherness as comrades. And so it's sort of like us also as Christians to assemble, to congregate, to meet, and to gather. This is truly a blessing. As the scriptures say, there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and we might add, one flock. Be of the same mind, Paul said to the Philippians, and to the Colossians, that your hearts might be comforted, knit together in love. Peter said, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Be of one mind, live in peace, Paul said to the Corinthians. And so a true sheep desires to be with all the flock. And no ifs or ands or buts, just no reservations. This is sheep-like. And flocking together provides the sheep with defense. So it's good for us as Christians to develop the flocking instinct. The second one provides a bit of balance to that. The second propensity of sheep is to follow other sheep. Maybe usually this is good, but this can be a problem. It's really best for sheep to follow the shepherd, not other sheep. We should remember as Christians Paul's warning that grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And some look like sheep, some are false prophets, but dressed in sheep's clothing. And so, but he said further, but the Bible says further that inwardly they are ravening wolves. So, I remember reading somewhere that a large flock of sheep in the Middle East all perished because one of the sheep tried to jump a 15-foot cavity, and they all blindly followed that leader and each other to their deaths. So the propensity of sheep to follow, while maybe often good, is something that can be very bad and very, very harmful. So let's watch out about that. Sheep are instinctively fearful, afraid of the unknown, afraid of loud noises. So when shepherds learn to handle their sheep, they learn to move deliberately, slowly, because sheep are also suspicious of new things. So if you want to try something new, you go gently as you develop this. Sheep are afraid of the dark. And so, of course, if shepherds learn to work with them with deliberation and gentleness, They learn to be appreciative of the shepherd and his helpers, and he keeps them together for their mutual support and comfort. And so that's why the scriptures say to God's people, don't be afraid. Notice that it's precisely directed to the flock, where it says in Luke, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he said, also quoting Matthew 10, fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So the spiritual flock, though fearful by nature, need not fear while they are in the Lord. And then, fourthly, lastly, flocks seek light and high ground. So it's good when you want to have a loading place to have it well lit. It's easier for sheep to walk uphill. And so the high places also provide the flock with a good view to spot any approaching danger. I remember a few years ago making a mistake that I'm embarrassed about, but at night I tried to chase my ram into a smaller place where I wanted to give him some wormer. By the way, yesterday morning I did this to about 30 maybe plus sheep and lambs, and I like to do it in the daylight. I've learned to do it in the daylight and in the cool of the day. And as I did that this time, after I gave the drench, I kept hold of that sheep's mouth and stroked it afterward to provide pleasant memories, and talked in its ear. It may have been kind of or close to its ear or head. It may have been kind of nonsensical in this way, but I was doing two things with this. I said 89, 95, 5, and just repeated these because I was riveting it in my mind that I've already, in this pen of 10, I've now done 3 or 4 or whatever, and then when I look again at the next one, I will remember that to not do that one again, and so on. But it was soothing kind of talk that I was doing, and it helped keep things in good order. But that one night, I had minutes after minutes after minutes, and I grabbed a flashlight. I thought, surely he's going to pay attention to a light, and I flashed the flashlight, and I danced and I chased, and it just didn't work well at all. I think I scarred him for life. So that there are things to learn, things to avoid, things to, you know, just because it's convenient for me to worm him at night instead of the next day, it just wasn't a good idea. Now, I said that I'd like to end with Psalm 23. These lessons from sheep teach us as shepherds some things to how to handle sheep, and it leads us to the good shepherd. And I'd just like to have you think about it. I didn't talk about the sheep's constant need for grazing. I didn't talk about the sheep needing a lot about sheep needing protection. But a shepherd provides these things for his sheep. And the Lord is the master at this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. What a comfort it is to know that He's going with me, that His gentle hand will guide me, that His stern voice and hand will correct me, and that I can trust Him, and that though there may be some other ways to go, and there may be some around me that I learned to distrust, I don't need to worry, for God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is fully dependable, and let us walk with Him with obedience and devotion. Will you join me in kneeling for prayer? Lord, this morning we come with a desire that You would be our shepherd and that we would be mindful of You. So we honor You, we bless You, we worship You, and we pray that You would help us to serve in Your flock in the way that You've designed, that we would treasure our fellow believers, and that You would spare us from the dangerous wolves, and help us to see those that are not following You for what they could be, and help us to be a light and salt in this present world. In Jesus' name, amen.